نحمده ونصلي على رسول الكريم أما بعد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has given us this chance to perform our Fajr Salah with Jamaah. Salah is a big thing. Salah is the greatest command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's one command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we should perform, try to perform perfectly. That's why our ulama, they always remind us that we must learn salah. We must not copy salah. We must learn salah. We must actually go to an alim and learn how to perform salah. One ustad for ruku, he used to make his learners in ruku to come straight and put a cup at the back so that the back is straight to train the back in ruku. So on top of that Allah SWT has given us this chance to perform our Fajr Salah with Jama'ah in the masjid, Allah has given us a chance to sit for a little while for the fikr of his deen. The ulama tell us when Allah loves a person, he gives him deen and the understanding of deen. Deen is our iman. Allah SWT is one. Allah is only being that is worthy of worship. La ilaha illallah. Nothing does but Allah. Nothing has got power. Power belongs to Allah. Nothing controls. Only Allah controls. A person will say, this is my head. But when the head has got a problem, he does not know what is wrong with his head. These are my eyes. When the eyes have got problems, he does not know what's wrong with the eyes. He is not in control even of his own body. He walks. Those feet are not walking, but they are made to walk. He listens. But those ears, they don't hear, but they are made to hear. Everything, sometimes some of the things happen against his will. Even if he does not want to go to the toilet, he will go to the toilet. Even if he does not want to sleep, he will sleep against his will. He will wake up against his will. Why? He is not in control. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in full control of whatever he has created. And he knows where it is at any given time. If you ask Allah ta'ala, where is a certain ant, Allah ta'ala will tell you. What is it doing? Allah Ta'ala will tell you. What is it eating? Allah will tell you. What will be the end of that ant? Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will tell you. He knows everything. Whatever Allah has created can never harm him. Can never harm him. Sometimes we make things that at the end of the day, those things, they come back and harm us. A person makes a gun. Sometimes that gun, that person will die by the same gun that he made. After he has made it, he does not know where that gun is. What is this doing? In whose hands is that gun? And everything that Allah Ta'ala has created has a purpose. And it was created for the benefit of insan. Even a snake, Allah created a snake. We don't like a snake, we fear a snake, but it was created. Believe me, it was created for our benefit. So those people who are expecting snakes, they catch snakes and they extract something from a snake and they make an antidote from that to cure people who have been bitten by the snakes. That antidote you can't get anywhere else except from the snake. For your benefit. One student asked his teacher, also Allah Ta'ala has created everything for our benefit. What is the benefit of a mosquito? Why did Allah, I told him, the mosquito was created so that it can wake you up for tahajjud. That's the benefit of a mosquito. That's why Allah Ta'ala created the mosquito for you. On a lighter note. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has a purpose for everything. You may not know the purpose. If I was asked, why did Allah Ta'ala create so many frogs? We don't know. But believe me, all those frogs, those rats, those snakes, everything, it has a purpose and it's doing its purpose. Dear respected brothers, there is no bigger mistake than forgetting a purpose. There is no bigger mistake than that. Dunya and akhirat. Even in this dunya, if a person forgets his mistake, he has committed the greatest mistake. Starting from your body, if your eyes can forget to see, what problem would you have? If your eyes can forget to walk, if your feet can forget to walk, if your ears can forget to hear, you are surviving, you are walking, you are seeing, because everything that Allah Ta'ala has created in you is doing the purpose for which it was created. You see because your eyes have not forgotten to see. You walk because your feet has not forgotten to walk. Something that has forgotten the purpose, it loses its status and it loses its name. The car was created to take you from point A to point B. As long as it does this job, it is called a car. In South Africa, we've got a very special, especially in the townships, we've got a very special name for a car that is no longer doing its job. We call it Iskorokoro. It may be a Mercedes-Benz, it may be a Porsche, it may be whatever car. But this name is common to all cars that have forgotten their purpose. And it loses its status. This car now, when it was taking you from point A to point B, it was staying in the garage. It was washed. It was polished. Everything was done for this car. Now that it's no longer doing that, it's going to be taken out of the garage, thrown away. Put it there, the children can play with it, they can scratch it, they can do whatever they like with it. It has lost its status. If a person has bought a cow and the purpose for this cow was to give milk, as long as the cow is giving milk, the person will wash the cow, will feed the cow, will protect the cow. He will not tolerate anyone harming the cow. No sooner will the cow forget or stop giving milk. The very same person who bought the cow, the very same person who would harm a person who is harming his cow, will take the knife and slaughter the cow. Why? It's no longer doing the purpose for which he bought it for. Now that we know that everything Allah Ta'ala has created for a purpose, now is time for a big question. Why did Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala create me? I know Allah Ta'ala created this for this, that for that, that for that, that for that, but what about me? Did Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, why did He create me? Do I know my purpose of creation? Did Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala look into the dunya and saw that there was a shortage of farmers? Then He brought us here as farmers? Did He look to the dunya and realize that there was a shortage of shopkeepers? Then He sent us as shopkeepers? Did He look into the dunya and realize that there was a shortage of professionals, So he sent us here. Is this our purpose? Is this our purpose here? Is this why almost 124,000 Anbiya alayhi masalam were sent? So that we can become shopkeepers? So that we can become farmers? Is this the maqsad of our life? Yes, it may be a need. It may be a need. But purpose? No, it's not our purpose. A need is something that keeps you going. A person is fasting, like we are fasting. Then time for iftar comes. He takes one date from his pocket and one slice from his pocket. From his pocket, not from the dastarkhan, from his pocket. And he eats his date, eats his slice. He goes to the tap and drinks water. The purpose is fulfilled. The purpose is fulfilled. So what do we learn from this? For a need, the need is fulfilled, I mean. His need is fulfilled of breaking the fast. What we learn from this is that for a need, you use as little time as is possible for a need. Like a shopkeeper. The purpose of a shopkeeper in the shop is customers. So how long does he have his tea? 5 minutes tea. Because drinking tea is not his purpose. How long does he go to the toilet? Does he stay in the toilet? No. The two purpose, he goes to the toilet. He drinks his tea. But when the purpose comes, which is a customer, he leaves all this. That is what we have got to learn. As long as we have got a need, we fulfill our need. Our families are our need. We need money, we need transport, we need food, we need water. But this is not why we were created. Why we were created? To worship Allah. To worship Allah. Recognize Allah. And we, the ummah of Rasulullah, like I said in the beginning, when Allah Ta'ala loves a person, he gives him iman. He gives him deen. And the understanding of deen. What is the understanding of deen? Understanding of deen is to worry about other Muslims, other people other than yourself. Is to feel pain. When I have performed my salah, Fajr salah, how much pain do I feel for those people who did not perform their salah? When I see the commandments of Allah Ta'ala being broken, day in and day out, how much pain do I feel? Then when you feel this, you have understood the full responsibility of your being here. Because you are an ummati of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We know, any Muslim with the name Muslim knows that there is no prophet to come after Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now whose duty it is now to carry on this deen of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala? Whose duty? It's our duty. Now when a person is just understand deen, no fikir of deen. No fikir of deen. He is like, he has understood the 50% of deen. My salah, my fast, my zikir, my Quran. Whatever happens around me, what happens around me, doesn't matter. No, this is not what was the fikir of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have got a mandate. We have got a responsibility. What is responsibility? How can complete deen come into my life? And how can complete deen come into each and every person, each and every ummah of Rasulullah, till the last person to come on earth? This is our responsibility. We always hear in the Kashbayan. So the Prophet came, Anbiya came. They preached to their qawm, to their people. And we say, those who listened, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them successful. Those who did not listen, What happened to them? We say this every time. Then Allah destroyed them. Those who listen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them successful. Those who did not listen, Allah destroyed them. Now, Rasulullah SAW also came to us, like those 124 Ambiyas. Don't we think that those who will listen to Rasulullah SAW, Allah SWT is going to make them successful? What will happen to those who do not listen? Don't we think that Allah SWT may, I'm not convinced he's going to destroy them, may destroy them. What is it that Allah Rasulullah has given us? Balighu anni walau aya. Convey from me. Whatever Rasulullah has stood for, we have got to convey it. Are we conveying it? Are we conveying it? Now, what will happen if we don't convey? If we, because this is an instruction. Do this. If we don't do it, what are we? We are like those people who, when the Anbiya of the time told them, they did not listen. We know of the very famous hadith of Aisha radiallahu anhu. Rasulullah came into the masjid and something was troubling him. He went into the minbar. What did he say? Oh, ye people, you have got to command people to do right and forbid them from doing evil. Otherwise, time will come when you will make dua and your dua will not be accepted. If I tell you today, you can make dua as much as you like, but it's not going to be acceptable, how would you feel? How would you feel? You will ask assistance from Allah, and Allah Ta'ala is not going to assist you in anything. Who does not need the assistance of Allah? And you will ask Allah Ta'ala to help you against your enemies, and Allah's help will not come. Something to that effect. So, is this not a very terrible state of affairs? So we may be ummati of Rasulullah, but we should become khairi ummat. Khairi ummat. Now we know all this. Whatever I have told you now, whatever I have told you up to this moment, you know it. You know it. A person who does not perform salah, he knows. He has got to perform salah. A person who is not fasting, he knows he has got to fast. We know. So what is the problem? The elders tell us, yaqeen is the problem. Now we have got to believe in what we know. That's why the Quran tells us, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, aminu. Oh, you who believe, believe. Now, yaqeen is the only thing that is going to drive you to action. Actually, all of us, we have yaqeen. It's just that it's a wrong yaqeen or the right yaqeen. Starting with me, I have got to correct my yaqeen. Because I've got, our job is that when we die with the correct yaqeen. We are told that a person who's committing sins, may go to Jahannam. But a person who dies with the wrong yaqeen, he may go to Jahannam forever and ever. So it's very, very important that we have to have the correct yaqeen. We must correct yaqeen. Example, when the azan is made, that I should go to the masjid. Now the muazzin says, "Hayya ala salah." So where we perform the salah in the masjid. What is in the masjid? Falah. Hayya ala falah in the masjid. And I don't close my shop, and I don't go to the masjid. What am I saying? First, my success is in my shop. Second, shop is my razak. Shop is my provider. Now, this quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah razak, Allah is a provider, is the quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is very important. Because nothing in this dunya works or survives without being nourished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By not going to the masjid, by declaring your shop through your actions that your shop is a provider, you have ripped off Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of his most important quality of being Razak. Now, where are you going to go now if your shop is provided? Now, if Allah ta'ala, you stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala asks you, who is your provider? Now, see, my shop is my provider, my profession is my provider, my farm is my provider, my degree is my provider. Where will you go? So it is very, very important to correct the yaqeen. The ulama tell us, eventually, all of us will have the correct yaqeen. At the end, all of us will have the correct yaqeen. But it will be too late. Like all the kuffar that are there, eventually they will bring iman, but it will be too late. So it is very important that we correct our yaqeen now. How do I correct my yaqeen? By going out again and again in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's how you correct your yaqeen. How is the yaqeen corrected? This way. When a person goes out in the path of Allah ta'ala again and again and again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates conditions for which he has got to turn, he is forced but to turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When I had to go to Pakistan, first I made intention, alhamdulillah, mashallah, I made intention, I want to go to Pakistan. Alhamdulillah, Allah ta'ala accepted my intention, mashallah. Now, according to me, everything was in order. Everything was in order. So, made the phone calls, ticket, how much ticket? I paid. How do I go? You go like this. Who I go with? You go like this. With who? Everything was sorted out. Now, last moment, the day before, no visa. No visa. Now, they told me, no, don't worry. Online, quick online. We spent the whole of that day trying to put the photo there. The system was not accepting the photo for the whole day. Now, I was asking myself, now, what should I do now? What should I do now? My money could not help me. My intelligence, my everything that I could ever think from my side could not help. The day after the day I was going to go, I was told in the morning, the system accepted your photo, but your visa was rejected. You can't go. Now, what do I do? All these conditions, where they are driving me to Allah. 2 hours, they are telling me, Sheikh, if you don't come with the visa, they are going to cancel your flight. Pass. And they tell me, the only thing we can do now, 2 rakat, inshallah, 2 rakat. 2 rakat. Then, after the 2 rakat, 2 hours before, then my visa came through. Now, if I go again and again in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then like this, conditions are going to come. Conditions are going to come. All the conditions that are coming, they are there to make your yakin. So it is important, inshallah, that we go out again and again and again in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who is ready, inshallah, to go out in the path of Allah ta'ala? And niyat, the desire to go out in the path of Allah ta'ala. Niyat is not the promise, it is the intention. And your yakin will be made. When your yakin is made, you are sorted, so to say. No one should be left behind, inshallah. No one. MashaAllah, Allah accept, inshallah. All of us should make niyat. MashaAllah. Alhamdulillah. What a great thing to go out in the path of Allah, in Ramadan. Nobody can do better than that. Nobody can do better than you. To be out in the path of Allah in Ramadan, no one can do better than you. No one. It comes in the heart, inshallah. Oh, just then, mashallah. I'll accept, inshallah. Mashallah. Mashallah. I'll accept, inshallah. Mashallah. 10 days, inshallah. The second 10 days and the last 10 days. Jamaat wise, inshallah. Masjid wise, inshallah. Allah kabur. Also ready. Second 10 days, inshallah. استغفر الله الذي لا اله الا هو يا الله يا رحمن يا رحيم يا غفور يا الحق يا عزيز يا كريم يا ارحم الراحمين يا الكرام اللهم صل على محمد وعلى ال محمد وبارك وسلم لا اله الا انت سبحانك انا كنا من الظالمين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم عنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك وتعالى أكسبت وفاست يا أرحم الراحمين أكسبت وسهر يا أرحم الراحمين أكسبت وإفطار الله give us توفيق يا أرحم الراحمين to point with the Quran يا أرحم الراحمين this is the month of the Quran يا أرحم الراحمين Allah give us the strength to come out in your path, Ya Rahman Rahim, to fulfill the responsibility that was left to us by Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah accept us, accept our families, accept the entire world for the fikr of your deen, Ya Zaljah al-Kram. Wa sallallahu wa ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Bi rahmatika, Ya Rahman Rahim.